Maybe you've heard that old saw, two people can live more cheaply than one. Well, the Great Recession has shown that a lot of young people are not shacking up because living with your beloved is nowhere near as cost effective as maybe moving home with mom and dad. It's one explanation researchers point to explain the end of the cohabitation trend. For decades, the numbers of unmarried couples living together was on the rise. It's not true anymore. And it got us to wondering how money does affect our romantic decisions. We've been asking you to tell us how it's played out in your own lives. Here's what some of you had to say.
I was a single parent about, 30-some years ago and partnered up and shared expenses and housing with a wonderful man. And marriage isn't the only model, but sharing housing and other expenses is a great one.
Unfortunately, my wife divorced me over our financial situation in this past year. I had been laid off due to my company closing, and I wasn't supporting the family, and I guess that was the outcome.
Some of our listeners responding to our question about how money affects romantic decisions. Here to take a step back and talk a little bit more about the economy and love is Shelley Lundberg. She's an economics professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara, University of California at Santa Barbara Center for Demography. Shelley, thanks for taking time to join us today.
My pleasure.
There are a lot of studies out there that show how the economy affects romantic lives and whether or not couples choose to live together or separately. How would you characterize the overall or general impact the economy has on those romantic decisions?
Well, of course, what we're usually looking at is the relationship between the business cycle of the economy and people's living arrangements. We're sort of inferring what's going on to romance and love behind those
right.
Behind those decisions. There's been a lot of interest in these topics for a long time. What effect do recessions or booms have on marriage decisions, cohabitation decisions, divorce? And there's a lot of really inconclusive and sometimes contradictory evidence out there. You don't know which way it's going to go, a priori. So we can tell the story that shocks and stress are bad for love and romance. And so when economic times are hard, that should perhaps cause relationships to break up. On the other hand, as some people were clearly saying, there are, you know, cost advantages to living together, to sharing resources and insuring each other against job loss. So if we just think about it ahead of time, it could go either way.
Well, let me just jump in here, because there are a lot of uncertainties, but it seems like there are some specific trends that you and your colleagues have seen coming out of the recession.
In fact, the sort of the best study of the effect of the Great Recession on family life in the U.S., a very recent study by Morgan, Cumberworth, and Weimer, seems to suggest that what we're mostly seeing in marriage, divorce, and cohabitation is really the continuation of pre-existing trends.
Starting when?
Decades ago. So I'm just gazing at some data now that goes from 2000 to 2010. Marriage rates did fall. The proportion of people who were married did fall during the recession, but the marriage rate had been falling for decades before that. And it really looks like it's largely just a continuation of this downward trend. Cohabitation rates have been rising. They continued to rise during the recession, according to current population survey data.
What about fertility rates, people choosing to procreate?
Now, there we're definitely seeing some very clear business cycle effects going back decades. During the Great Recession, fertility rates plummeted. And I think there's a lot of confidence among researchers that the at least delay of childbearing has clearly been a response to the tremendous uncertainty and insecurity that came along with the Great Recession.
I know that you're an economist, you're not a sexologist, but do you guys predict out perhaps that this is a trend that will stay in place as we're seeing maybe new job creation, but jobs that don't pay what people might have been making in past employment?
It's starting to look as though the fertility rate in particular is starting to stabilize. So in 2012, following several years of very large drops in fertility, there was really just a tiny fall. So it looks like what people have been doing is they've been delaying childbearing And I think the general expectation is we're going to see a rebound as economic conditions continue to improve. As I said, with marriage and cohabitation, we seem to be seeing these long-term trends where people are opting for cohabitation rather than marriage, and we seem to be just in continuation of those trends.
One thing that we have been seeing is that younger people, and I'm talking under 25, are having a harder time finding the kind of employment after high school or college that would allow them to move out. So they're moving back in with their parents, and I'm wondering if we're seeing that change at all.
Yeah, and that's another very clear recession-related effect, is there's been a large drop in the rate at which new households form. And that itself, of course, is inhibiting the recovery, because when new households form, people buy things. And most of that is clearly young people delaying moving out of their parents' house, or in many cases, as you point out, moving back in after an unsuccessful job search or losing their jobs.
Sounds like a catch-22. If you don't have a job, you can't move out, but you don't move out, you don't stimulate the economy?
I think that's right.
Well, Shelley, thank you for taking time to explain some of these things to us. Appreciate it.
Delighted.
Shelley Lumberg's an economics professor at UC Santa Barbara's Center for Demography. You're listening to The Record on KUOW Seattle.